The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you.
Worship and Praise 150, we bring the sacrifice of praise, words and music by Kirk Dearman.
Let us pray. God, you call us to go where Christ leads. Turn us from the ways of the world. Guide us to fullness of joy in the Spirit, where bodies and souls rest secure. And grant us strength to follow the way of the cross, which frees us to love one another for the sake of all creation. Amen.
A reading from Matthew chapter 13, verses 47 to 53. Jesus said, "Or God's kingdom is like a fish net cast into the sea, catching all kinds of fish. When it is full, it is hauled onto the beach. The good fish are picked out and put in a tub. Those unfit to be eat are thrown away. That's how it will be when the curtain comes down on history. The angels will come and cull the bad fish and throw them in the garbage. There will be a lot of desperate complaining, but it won't do any good." Jesus asked, "Are you starting to get a handle on this?" They all answered, "Yes." He said, "Then you see how every student well trained in God's kingdom is like the owner of a general store who can put his hands on anything you need, old or new, exactly when you need it." When Jesus finished telling these stories, he left there, returned to his hometown. Word of God, word of life.
A reading from Psalm 119, beginning at the 105th verse. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light upon my path. I have sworn and am determined to keep your righteous judgments. I am deeply troubled. Preserve my life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, O Lord, the willing tribute of my lips, and teach me your judgments. My life is always in danger, yet I do not forget your teaching. The wicked have set a trap for me, but I have not strayed from your commandments. Your decrees are my inheritance forever. Truly, they are the joy of my heart. I have applied my heart to fulfill your statutes forever and to the end. I hate crooked people, but your teaching I love. You are my refuge and shield. I hope for your word. Turn away from me, you wicked, so that I can keep the commandments of my God. Sustain me according to your promise that I may live, and do not thwart my hope. Hold me up, and I shall be safe, and I shall always pay heed to your statutes. You spurn all who stray from your statutes. Their deceitfulness is in vain. You clear away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore, I love your decrees. My flesh trembles with dread of you. I am afraid of your judgments.
This is ELW 172. Hallelujah.
A reading from 1 Kings, beginning at chapter 19, verse 13. A quiet voice asked, "So Elijah, now tell me, what are you doing here?" Elijah said it again. "I've been working my heart out for God, the God of the angel armies, because the people of Israel have abandoned your covenant, destroyed your places of worship, and murdered your prophets. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me." God said, "Go back the way you came, through the desert to Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael. Make him king over Aram. Then anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi. Make him king over Israel. Finally, anoint Elisha, son of Shaphath from Abel-Meholah, to succeed you as prophet. Anyone who escapes death by Hazael will be killed by Jehu, and anyone who escapes death by Jehu will be killed by Elisha. Meanwhile, I'm preserving for myself 7,000 souls, the knees that haven't bowed to the god Baal, the mouths that haven't kissed his image." Elijah went out and found Elisha, son of Shaphath, in a field where there were 12 pairs of yoked oxen at work plowing. Elisha was in charge of the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak over him. Elisha deserted the oxen, ran after Elijah, and said, "Please let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, then I'll follow you." "Go ahead," said Elijah. "But mind you, don't forget what I've just done to you." So Elisha left. He took his yoke of oxen and butchered them. He made a fire with the plow and tackle and then boiled the meat, a true farewell meal for the family. Then he left and followed Elijah, becoming his right-hand man. Word of God, word of life. When I'm at my lowest points and when I'm most tired, I start to think that God isn't giving me what I deserve. I start to recount all the things that I've done, and then I wonder why I don't have more. Why I don't have more money, more rest, more friends. You get the idea. I mean, it isn't that I think that I deserve more because I'm a pastor, but on the other hand, I think I deserve more because I'm a pastor. Do you ever have days like that? Like, you don't think you deserve more because you're following Jesus' way, but there should be some reward for following Jesus' way. I think that's what Elijah was feeling when that small voice came to him on that cave on Mount Horeb and asked him what he was doing there. It was sort of like an accusation. Like, why aren't you out in the world doing more, Elijah? And Elijah's response to that was to take inventory. Elijah started to say, well, here's all the things I've done. I've only done everything you ever asked me to do. And by the way, this discernment is difficult, but I've done my best. What do you mean what am I doing here? I'm resting. I'm drawing back from the danger for just a little while. Don't I deserve to be here? What do you mean what am I doing here? After all, they're trying to kill me. This is hard work. This following, this discipling, this doing your will, this standing up to the powers that be. What do you mean, what am I doing here? Sometimes we just feel like, what's in it for me? Is danger and deprivation and exhaustion all that's in it for me? And notice God's response to Elijah. God responds not with anger, not with a punishment or a reprimand, but God responds actually with another task. Okay, Elijah, here's the next thing you need to do. Go back on your way to Damascus and then anoint some new people kings, and they're going to take care of all those people that are killing the prophets and not following my way. Don't you worry about that. And then finally, Elijah, go and find Elisha and anoint him as prophet in your place. It is as if God says, I hear you. I know it's difficult. And you weren't meant to do this forever. It's now time to pass the baton. As if God is saying, well done, good and faithful servant. But one more thing before I draw you home to me. Make sure that the work that I've given you to do is tended to. That it's cared for. That someone else is picking up that baton and is going to carry on the work. God doesn't expect us to go on forever doing things that are difficult. God doesn't expect us to work beyond our exhaustion or beyond our capability or beyond our strength. But perhaps what I love most about this passage is hearing God's redirection. Because that redirection tells me that God actually heard Elijah, that God actually understands and cares about Elijah, that God understands fear, exhaustion, that God understands our loneliness, our isolation, that God understands the weight of following. God understands the weight of pastoring, and God understands the weight of discipleship, and God understands the burdens that we carry. God understands the workload that we pull. God understands all of that. And when Elijah withdraws to that cave and starts doing inventory, God responds with the compassion that actually offers to replace Elijah's workload with something else. It reminds me so much of Psalm 139, in which the psalmist cries out, Where could I go, O God, that you are not? How can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to the highest heights, you are there, and if I ascend to the lowest depths, even there you find me. Your love surrounds me, your hand holds me, and you hem me in behind and before, and you're acquainted with all my ways. If I were to ascend to Mount Horeb, deep into a cave, even there you would find me. And if you were to ask me, what are you afraid of? And I were to cry out a litany of all the burdens that I carry and all the dangers I face and all the fears that I have, O God, you would listen and you would hear it. And if I were joyful, O God, you would be there to share that joy, to double it even. And when I say I'm exhausted, O God, you send me relief. You may give me more to do in the meantime, but the relief is on my horizon. And if I but trust you, O God, I will attain that relief. How is COVID-19 finding you? Are you exhausted? Are you isolated? Are you busier, less busy, worried? Resting? Wherever it is that you are, know that our God is there with you, listening, supporting, walking before and behind and all around. That God is making a way for you. Relief is on your horizon. Help is on your horizon. A new start is on your horizon. We human beings have limited capacity. We have a limited amount that we can give, a limited amount of energy. And sometimes our hope wanes. Our love feels spent. We ourselves feel spent. But our God is big enough for all of that. And God is big enough to provide renewal, a change of direction, a new horizon, a new beginning. Grace and peace be with you, as they were with Elijah, and as they always are with God's people, to sustain, to support, and to provide. Amen.
This hymn is found in Worship and Praise. Our confidence is in the Lord.
Thank you.
The creeds of the church are public professions of faith. Mostly they're ancient, but we also find our faith and our belief resonating with modern creeds. And so we profess our faith in the words of the creed, God the Provider. The words are below.
We believe in the God who provides for our every need, who has an answer to our deepest questions, and a purpose for us in life. Today we praise God the Provider. We believe in Jesus Christ, our holy brother, who stands by our side when light turns into darkness, who suffers our pain and turns it into a blessing. For the presence of Christ in our lives, we praise God the Provider. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the breath of life, who inspires us when our spirits are dried up, who creates something new when old structures crumble. For the Spirit of hope and renewal, we praise God the Provider. Amen.
Confident of God's care and helped by the Holy Spirit, let us pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. God of the harvest, you sow the good seed of the gospel of Jesus Christ into your field. Help your church throughout the world to be both diligent and patient, full of resolve and gentleness, that our witness may be faithful to your intentions. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of all space and time, your whole creation groans in labor pains, awaiting the gift of new birth. Renew the earth, sky, and sea, so that all your creation experiences freedom from the bondage of decay. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of the nations, teach us your ways, that we may walk in your truth. Mend the fabric of human family, now torn apart by fear and war, by disease and uncertainty. Guide us by your mercy, your grace, and your steadfast love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of hope, you accompany those who suffer and are near to the brokenhearted. Open our hearts to your children who are lonely and abandoned, who feel trapped by despair, and all who suffer in any way, especially those experiencing anxiety and uncertainty, and those who are spent in their isolation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of the seasons, in the midst of summer, give us refreshment, renewal, and new opportunity. We pray for the safety of those who travel. We pray for the steadfastness of those who work in healthcare systems around the world. We pray for those who cannot take the rest they need, and for those who are surrounded by rest and find no other activity in their day. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give thanks for recent graduates of Lutheran Theological Seminary in Saskatoon, especially for Aaron Thomas and Kate Zeiser, who have both been called to their first congregations as pastor. For what else do the people of God pray? Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of life, those who have died in you shine like the sun in your endless kingdom. We remember with thanksgiving the saints of all times and places, and saints close to us, especially Walter Dreger, Dennis Morey, Mike Kerr, Larry Hoogie, Will Sanders, Albert and Velma Hulk, Maurice Manning, Shannon Ebert, Ed Cooper, Clark Hansen, Phyllis Oakenfold, Lauren Voisin, Shirley Pepler, and Ron Kletke. And we also remember Roger Bork, whose body was laid to rest this week. Gather us with all of them on the day of your great and glorious salvation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In the certain hope that nothing can separate us from your love, O God, we offer all these prayers to you through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Worship and Praise 87, Let There Be Praise. Text and music by Melody and Dick Tunney.
Receive a blessing. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. God the Creator, Jesus the Christ, and the Holy Spirit the Sustainer bless you and keep you now and always. Amen.
Worship and Praise 149, We Bow Down. Words and Music by Twyla Paris.
Remembering that God gave Elijah new calls at new times and relief from his duty, go out into the world to serve the Lord with gladness, knowing that God knows you, hears you, cares about you, and is with you. Amen. And thanks be to God.